you're still kind of doing stuff. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're sitting here today.
Retired as an AP sports staffer.
Staffer.
But still, still
occasionally here and there.
Still dabbling here and there. Yeah.
I like that. I'm glad you're dabbling because we're happy to have you with us.
Well, I was just going to say, I enjoy being with you guys. This has been a lot of fun for me.
Good.
I still think Emeritus. I think we need to get you a corduroy jacket with elbow patches.
Yeah.
And we need to get you a pipe.
That's not bad.
Have you teach classes on the side.
And I feel like Donald Sutherland and National Lampoon's Animal House. There you go.
AP Emeritus. Let's just go with that.
All right.
Is that okay? We'll go with the initials.
Sound way too dignified.
Well, it does. I kind of like it. Tom's in for Andy today. Dano, run it. You just heard Dan. Meredith's taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. Here we go. All right, whether we're ready for it or not, the NFL is returning. Yeah. And it happens this time every year. It just seems like this one snuck up on us pretty quickly, Tom. Rookies reporting for the Browns today, as you mentioned in the jumpstart. Sources telling you we will not see Quinshon Judkins, at least right away, reporting to the Browns for rookie camp.
Correct. You know, in my previous life, today's one of those days where it really felt like summer was over. You know, oh, God, the rookies are reporting. I'm going to be out there for, well, it's not 2-a-days anymore, but long days in Berea and what have you. So
until early mid-January.
Yeah, it's a grind. No Judkins. Obviously, unfortunate situation. We still don't know all of the details. Some of them emerged this week, though, right? We got a better handle on what exactly had happened. It's a bad situation on a lot of levels. One of them being that it's obviously another red flag for a Browns draft pick. You know, a year after they had a similar situation with Michael Hall Jr. By all accounts, there were no red flags on this kid, right? And he had looked good in the early sessions at camp, what have you, the OTAs, all that kind of stuff. You know, he's going to be a big part of whatever they're going to do this year on offense as well. So that's another part of this story. But as I mentioned earlier, a lot of things to sort out here still. Still has to sign his contract. Will not be on the field, obviously, until that happens. You wonder now, though, Jeff, what this transgression has done to his contract situation. We don't know all the details yet. This is all going to have to be, played out in courts or outside of court or what have you. The league is going to have to step in at some point here to have some kind of ruling, I'm sure. And again, another distraction the Browns don't need.
If we look at the way things have gone down in the past with situations like this, Tom, you assume there's a suspension and you assume that he returns to the field. I would bet the Browns don't put him on the field even if he's not suspended until there's some kind of resolution about this.
I don't know. I think we had the opposite last year with Mike Hall. I think
that's true.
Remember, then, they put him on the field and then the suspension.
But Mike had
a
contract.
That's a good point.
So
as
I
well.
Wonder how this contract thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a bad deal.
Yeah.
But the timing, if you're Quinshon Judkins, couldn't have been worse. It's like, no contract and now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So I could see it'll be a terrible look if the Browns sign him to a contract right now. But on the other hand, he's a player and you would need to sign him to a contract.
Yeah, exactly. You got to go through the whole protocol and procedure of it all, right?
So I mean, if they just go about normal procedure, normal business, they're going to sign him to a contract.
Yeah,
but that won't look good.
No, it won't. Nothing's going to look good here for a while, right? So my gut would tell me, Jeff, that he would not be on the field for, obviously this first part. Veterans, report next week. First couple practices, I could see then on, a week, let's say July 25th, 26th, suddenly, okay, Quinshon Judkins is on the field.
And
that kind of situation.
And it would be slightly downplayed because the veterans are already here.
Exactly.
They're already going. We've already seen Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, and they're the quarterbacks. And it's not like you're reporting the first day when rookies are supposed to report.
Right.
Like nothing happened.
And not to use the political parallel here, but it's kind of a flood the zone type of situation, right? There's kind of a lot of things going on. And then suddenly number 10 he's wearing, right? We'll be on the field. So again, just another thing that it's always seems to be something with this team, unfortunately, that's not related to football. What they don't need, again, they were hoping for big, and obviously it looks bad too for the Browns too. That let Nick Chubb walk away.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that's something that we beat the drum on for for months at a time? You know, like why can't you sign him to a team friendly contract and bring him back for a year or two and see if he's still got it?
So which he got in Houston.
Yes, he did.
He didn't get a big contract in Houston. He got a, hey, you can come here and be a part of this and see if it works.
You're right, Jeff. But, and I know in fairness to the Browns too, that Nick, because I had heard this through some other back channels, was kind of looking for a change of scenery. You know, and not that he doesn't love Cleveland and not that all those things he said about Cleveland are not genuine. He does.
Well, and we get all that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can understand that.
I do too, right? Yeah. I mean, you get to a point where like, oh man, it's just not working out here for whatever reason. I need a fresh start. And the Texans are going to give him one. And I'm hoping he runs for 1,500 yards.
It's interesting, though. He goes to a situation with Joe Mixon there. So we'll see how all plays out.
Yeah.
If you're the Browns now, though, Tom. And I made Dan, I made him nauseous the other day. Luckily, he kept everything down. It was good. But I said, okay, so until he's out there, Quinshon Judkins is not in this backfield. Okay, until he's out there. So Dylan Sampson, terrific. Jerome Ford, who they liked so much, they drafted two running backs and cut his pay, even though they guaranteed his pay. So we can say all we want about Jerome Ford. They drafted two running backs.
Gives him another opportunity, though, too.
Jerome Ford gets a little
opportunity to...
Pierre Strong. Never know. And a young guy from Marshall who's big bruising guy. We'll see. And I said, you probably need another running back. I threw out some free agent running back names. That's where Dan got nauseous. I said, Gus Edwards. Gus is out there. Get on the Gus bus.
He's played.
You need a body, don't you?
You know what?
Do you need a body?
I would feel better if you picked up the phone and called John Kelly, because I'm sure he's still floating around.
Well, and he knows the playbook. He knows all 17 playbooks since he's been here.
Exactly. But
John Kelly came and went from Berea more than any player, I think, in Browns history. To your point, though, Jeff, there's a half dozen of those Gus Edwards types out there.
But the Browns have as many quarterbacks as running backs on the roster right now.
Maybe they can make one of the quarterbacks a running back. We got plenty of options.
Joe Flacco seems game for anything.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about Ford, though. I mean, that just occurred to me that this could be a chance for him to really like step it up.
He could.
Yeah.
Well, if he needed a reality check, we drafted two guys, and
you're making less money,
and here's your pay cut.
Other than that, we really like you.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Your uniform has been laundered, and here's your helmet. Go get them.
The thing that's tough to me there, Tom.
Yeah.
Okay, all this is going on. In a year where every indication is we're going back to the Kevin Stefanski running type of offense, we're going to let the offensive line do their thing, and we're going to put the quarterback under center a lot. We're going to run play action. It's based around the running game. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Still a lot can happen, though, Jeff. I mean, but this could all get resolved, right? And it could be a blip and a clean slate.
They find nothing. That could be. But it's bad for the reputation.
It is.
At the very least.
But, you know, I think it was interesting as well. And I cautioned people right away to avoid jumping, assuming anything, being presumptuous about anything. And as we've learned in the last week, right, this story is there's more than meets the eye, right? I mean, but obviously there are some facts as well. There's some undisputed facts. For all parties, I hope it gets resolved because it's just, it's not football and we like talking about football.
The strange thing to me since the Browns draft, and I understand it because it's quarterback, it's running back, it's offense, and the offense wasn't good. The Browns' top two draft choices were on defense. And I don't think that's been played up enough, Tom, because
I would agree with you.
You brought in Carson Schlesinger, first pick of the second round. You traded down, you didn't take Travis Hunter, and you get Mason Graham just to put in the middle of that defensive line. To me, that was an indication of what the Browns were thinking. Okay, let's shore up that defense. Let's make sure we have guys. We'll put Mason Graham there. JOK's not here. We need another linebacker. Let's get that. And now we'll turn our attention to some of the things on offense.
And that obviously comes on the heels of a record-setting contract for your best player, right? So you're thinking, okay, maybe we can play this the Mike Tomlin way, right? Maybe we can have an aggressive defense. Maybe Schwartz can get more out of this group that underachieved last year, right?
Yeah.
That was
comparison to 2 years ago.
2 years ago, right? Yeah. They definitely took a step back. But then you had a couple guys that, didn't have good, you know, Martin Emerson Jr., for instance, a kid who I think has all kinds of talent.
I do too.
And I think can really be a long-term answer for them at a very important position. You know, you get a kid like Denzel Ward, who I think is tracking towards, you know, one of the best careers maybe we've had. If he can stay healthy.
If healthy, Hall of Fame career.
Totally. Mm-hmm. You know, I said that to somebody recently. I was like, I think that's a legitimate case for him. You know, again, should he stay healthy and keep tracking the direction he's going in? But to your point, Jeff, maybe that's more what this team is about this year, right? It's to play real tough nose, hard defense, try to flip the field, try to make things easier for quarterback A, B, C, D, or E to get the team into the end zone.
E, wait a minute. Wait, you know, who's coming in? Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. That's John.
Yeah. And try to win some 17-14 ball games.
Yeah.
You know, that could be the method going
forward.
Which,
by the way, Browns fans would love.
They would love.
As long as they were wins.
That's exactly it.
That's all that matters in this situation. The rookies reporting means that two quarterbacks who have been front and center in everybody's, you know, eye, in their view, in the attention, in the hope, means they're here and ready to go. We had a quarterback guru on earlier in the week who didn't really mention those two guys, but he mentioned somebody else in a really flattering way. We're going to play that for you coming up next on Baskin and Phelps. Tom Weathers in for Andy. I'm Jeff Phelps. Tom Weathers in for Andy Baskin today. Dan Menigan behind the glass, door open, ready to go. And Meredith takes your phone calls at 216-474-0092.
No rookies in this room.
No rookies in this room. Kind of wish I was a rookie again. That'd be fun.
I hear you.
That would be fun. The rookies are here. Everybody's looking at Shedeur Sanders. I'm not even going to say looking at Dylan Gabriel because I want to talk about him in a second. The most overlooked guy here, I think, and the one that just intrigues me the most, but we'll get into that in a second. Mike Martz, the former head coach of the Rams, the coordinator of the greatest show on turf, a guy who had Kurt Warner, who came from stocking shelves and went to the Hall of Fame, guy who had Mark Bulger, who was a sixth-round pick, cut by the Saints, picked up by the Rams, and they turned him into a pretty decent quarterback.
Yeah, he was solid.
Mike knows how to deal with quarterbacks. He was on the show earlier in the week, and we asked him about the Browns situation. You have four quarterbacks. How do you deal with four quarterbacks? You have four different types of quarterbacks. You have two rookies. You have a guy who's 40 and has had success in the league and then has had limited success since he left his first team. And then you have a guy who was pretty good, kind of, for the Steelers, but not good enough that they didn't sign two free agents to come in to replace him. And then he asked for a trade, and that's Kenny Pickett. We asked Mike Martz about the Browns quarterback situation, and his answer made Dan and I look up at each other and go, huh, here it is.
Pickett, to me, is a diamond on that roster. He's the guy I'd like to coach, to be honest with you. I loved him coming out. And I don't know what they're trying to do on offense up in Pittsburgh. It's not an indictment on them or anything else like that. But he didn't fit what they were trying to do. There's a lot of things I'd like to say about it, but I can't. I won't say it. But I just think this guy's a diamond in the rough, ready to go. I really do. And he's that kind of a Mark Bulger, Warner, Trent Green, those kind of guys that have been banged around the league a little bit, got their nose bloodied. Now they're ready to go. Those are the kinds of guys that, you know, they get their hair in the back of their neck up, and you're not going to have many more chances, so he knows he's got to get it done.
Kenny Pickett, diamond in the rough, Tom Weathers.
Reclamation project. Let's get Mike Martz back on the phone and have him talk about what he feels about the Steelers offense. I like that.
That was a
little tease right
there. Don't want to go there.
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree with him, you know, to a point in that, you know, Kenny Pickett was a first-round draft pick by a pretty damn good team in this league, right?
20th overall.
So, yeah. So
first quarterback off the board in what was a bad quarterback
year,
draft.
Right. So there is something there. He really hasn't gotten the opportunity per se, right? I think 15 starts, is it, I think, total?
Well, he has a 15-10 record as a starter.
I'm sorry, 15 wins. That's right. Yeah.
And
25 starts.
Tom, I keep looking at that and thinking, okay, I know the Steelers are pretty good, but you were the quarterback of record in 25 games, and you were 15-10.
Right. And don't forget, too, in this chessboard of moves that the Browns have made in the offseason, that was the first one that they made, right?
Yeah.
Was to sign Kenny Pickett.
So, which kind of came out of nowhere when, you know, they trade DTR and swap picks.
Yeah.
You got him for trade basically for nothing.
Exactly, yeah.
But it was like, really? That That came out of nowhere, and because it came out of nowhere, to me, it wasn't just accidental, Tom. I'm just with you. The Eagles didn't call and say, we'd like to have DTR.
Right.
I can't imagine that happened.
Right. It tells you a lot about how many people in that building obviously felt about Kenny. So, you know, I'm with Martz in that I love these kinds of stories, right? I mean, we've seen them in all areas of sports, haven't we, Jeff, where a guy has been kind of kicked to the curb, comes back. Hey.
Given up on Tom maybe before he had a chance to really find himself.
And I'll tell you, the other end of the spectrum is, you know, Joe Flacco had a similar situation towards the end of his career, right? Kind of discarded and then brought back out. And so, you know, a similar story, what have you. But, you know, Jeff, you and I have talked about this before. I think the best case scenario for the Browns, given all that they have to deal with this year, right? In what is a year where they need to find out who their quarterback is going forward. Kenny Pickett playing well in training camp, exhibition season, proving that he can be the starter would be about the best case scenario for this team, right? It would allow you to groom these rookies, not have to force feed them into action. Now, listen, that doesn't mean, though, that you don't want to see Shadur and Dylan Gabriel play well in the exhibition season. You got Joe Flacco standing there as a failsafe and as a default should things go sideways, because they know they can quickly hear whether it's an injury or what have you. So, but I'm with Martz. I'd love to see Kenny Pickett play well here.
Tom, he's the best option here to play well. And that's no disrespect to Joe Flacco. Joe's 40. And he's not the future here. We know that. He might be the present. But if Pickett can win this job, and I do think he has to win it, I think he might be the guy that they're hoping wins it. He might be number one on their fake depth chart.
I would think so too. 1-1A. I think he and Flacco are almost.
I would think so.
Even Steven going in. Yeah.
But if Pickett can play competent quarterback and be the starter, that allows you to develop the guys. And maybe you get really lucky and find a guy who can be your quarterback for 3 to 5 years. And if you don't like what you see in the draft next year, if you're not in a position to get a young quarterback next year who you'd think is the guy you want, and you can't get him for whatever reason, you might have a starting quarterback for a while, and then you can see what happens with Gabriel and Sanders.
Jeff, great point. Buys you a little time as well, right?
It
allows you, it takes all the urgency out of everything.
I don't think Flacco buys you the time.
I'm with you.
I wonder this. And this I can't get out of my head. Joe can throw the football. He'll probably throw the football well when he's 50. You know, I mean, he can throw it.
He's going to look great this summer.
But we know who Joe is. Since leaving Baltimore, Joe has had success in really just one spot and one spot only. And it was here.
Magical month.
And it was. And it was so much fun. And he was so... He was Joe Flacco, but it worked. The interceptions didn't jump up and bite him until the playoff game.
At the wrong possible time.
Exactly. Right? And can he duplicate that? I don't know. You just called it a magical month.
Yeah.
I think it
and
was.
Then some, yeah.
And I wonder if it can continue. And if he's sitting here and he's your backup, that's fine. And Tom, I'll be honest. You drafted a quarterback in the third and the fifth. I don't want one of those guys to be my backup unless they happen to look great.
They can't be, Jeff. Not, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think Sanders can. I think there's an outside chance Gabriel could.
Maybe so.
Outside chance.
Before I forget, props to Shadur Sanders for hosting that community event earlier this week in East Cleveland where the fire at the apartments there, you know, kind of did it under the radar, if you will.
He's done a good job with a lot
really
of that stuff.
He really has. You know, I commend him for that. I wanted to make sure that I brought that up. I thought that was, especially because, you know, as a media member, you know, we are constantly inundated with emails from PR firms, et cetera. You know, he did this on his own volition. This was something that was important to him and he did. And obviously some news crews showed up there and saw him there and what have you.
Right.
But it wasn't something that he was, you know, waving the flag about doing. He did it on his own, and I think that says a lot about him. I think Mike Hall Jr. was with him there as well, you know, a Cleveland kid. But, you know, Shadur's done everything right to this point, and I know that there are going to be fans that are going to clamor to see him out there in week one because they feel like We got to see as much as we can out of him right away to know whether he's the guy or not.
Explain why that's not a good idea.
It's not a good idea, Jeff, for a lot of reasons. You know, number one, you know, they didn't play an offense at Colorado that suits well to a quick transition to the NFL, right? I mean, their offense at Colorado was find number 12 and throw him the ball. And Deion kept it very simplified for him. On top of that, there are so many things that go into being an NFL quarterback. I was talking to you guys during the break. The Netflix documentary that now called Quarterback, which focuses this year on Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins. They do a really nice job in an episode about what it takes to just, you know, pull off one play and all the intricacies that there are in running an NFL offense. And I'm not saying that Shedeur Sanders couldn't do that and is not, you know, adaptable and a quick learner and all that kind of thing. But you don't want to deal with that right now when you're in this situation with this Browns team. You want to take your time with that kid. You want to groom him, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, if he could be the future, and that would be fine. But the future doesn't need to start on September 12th or whatever that opener is.
Not when you have three other quarterbacks who could possibly play for you. I think you have to take Shedeur and absolutely maximize his possibility for success.
I think that's exactly the way they're looking at it, Jeff.
And if they can do that, Tom, then they give him a real chance to see if he can be a quarterback in the NFL. If you rush him out there right now and it doesn't go well, you might as well pack his bags and send him to Toronto.
If you don't have to.
Have him go play in Canada.
Right. If you don't have to. Sadly, Jeff, we've seen, though, right? I mean, the rash of injuries we had a couple years ago. I mean, DTR wound up out there making a start against the Baltimore Ravens with, like, an hour to prepare, which was about as unfair as you could get to a kid who ended up then playing a couple games, getting hurt, getting his career sidetracked. Who knows where he's going to end up going and whether he's going to be able to play or not. So you don't want to rush what you don't have to rush.
Do you have to rush Dylan Gabriel, or is he NFL ready? Tom, that to me is one big question that the Browns need to answer coming up in training camp. And I look at UCF. He was 3 years at UCF, and he was really good. And you think, although he was injured for one of them, he played just a couple of games that year. And I can understand if somebody said, well, it was at Central Florida. Well, then he went to Oklahoma.
By the way, don't poo-poo Central Florida. They play a schedule now.
No, I'm not. I got you. But somebody could say, it's Central Florida. You can't say, well, it was Oklahoma. It was Oklahoma. And then he went to Oregon, and it was Oregon.
Yeah.
And he was really good.
He was really good.
Took care of the football, threw it well, ran the ball well, showed great feet. Lance Reisland, who contributes to Cleveland.com.
Does a nice job.
I've done stuff with Lance doing some high school games. Talked to Lance about it. He thinks Dylan Gabriel has a real chance to do something, even though he really didn't look as well as everybody thought he would during all the mini camps and everything else. I wonder, Tom, if that guy is just kind of laying in the weeds and can go into camp and say, hey, remember when Russell Wilson was a third-round pick? And you signed Matt Flynn to that big money?
Hmm.
Yeah, well, take a look.
I think
watch this.
Yeah, I think that's how the Browns view him, right? They, like you said before, a little diamond in the rough. I mean, Dylan Gabriel kind of falls into that category in my mind. You know, I think back to that. Now, granted, the Buckeyes did not blitz him the first time they played him last year, which was a whole different deal when you get to the Rose Bowl and you get the big lead or what have you. But, I mean, he picked apart that OSU secondary when they played up in Eugene. He was terrific. I like his moxie in the pocket, if you will. I know that people have made a big deal about his size, and that's a factor. But
we've seen smaller. You can't hide it.
But you mentioned Russell Wilson. I mean, we've seen undersized guys have huge success in this league. So, again, plenty of options. We'll go back to the Martz comment about Pickett. I'd love to see it happen. I think that would be an ideal situation for the Browns to see him excel this summer.
And you never know. Guy who was a first-round pick and has had some moments in the league and probably is thinking, here's my chance. Because if I don't go win this job, I'm a career backup.
Yeah, and as Mart said before, it might be my last chance.
Yeah, and I think it absolutely is. We're going to talk more Browns coming up in the noon hour. Daniel Afusi from ESPN covers the Browns. He's the beat writer for ESPN. He's going to join us at 12:20 and anxious to talk to Daniel. Guardians are back at it tonight after a disappointing first half, a lot of disappointing individual performances. And yet, if you look at the standings and look at baseball, you think, maybe this could work.
Still a chance.
Yep, still a chance. Yes, we're going to talk in Guardians next. Baskin and Phelps, Tom's in for Andy.